All right, so this is something God spoke to me about, and it's, you know, for me, compared to other younger people, you know, the time that maybe we have to serve the Lord is getting less and less. We don't know how long we're going to serve, but for all of us, I think we struggle sometimes terribly, I know I do, with wasting time. And if you can grasp, I'm going to give you, this will be our theme verse, and then I'll give you a verse, 1 Corinthians 7:29, and then one from Ephesians and Colossians. But 1 Peter 1:17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, and we know that, we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And here it is. Pass the time of your sojourning, your temporary time here, in fear. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have joy. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. It doesn't mean we, you know, Jesus came apart and he rested, recreation and vacation. But I can tell you, most Christians, and it's sad, we don't take our time on this earth serious. And we should serve God with our time in fear. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, tonight. And Lord, I know I waste time, and and we all do. But dear God, we believe your return is soon. And even if it wasn't, and it is, we still need to use our time wisely and seriously. And we need to use the time that we're temporarily here, passing the time of our sojourning here in fear. God, thank you for this great church and Pastor and Cheryl and the people and the joy and the singing. Lord, this is what old-time religion is and supposed to be, in the house of God and reaching people and working hard and soul winning and door knocking and visiting and caring and loving. And yes, we have all our own sins and struggles and hurts, but when we care about other people, that will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be rewarded in souls saved. It'll be rewarded in people coming to church and church attendance and buses being full and auditorium filled and giving people a chance to do the most important thing in all of eternity, and that's to get saved and accept you as Savior and to go to heaven when they die. And so, Lord, please put your hand on me. Use this message now to be a great encouragement to this encouraging church. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. How do you pass the time? In waiting, you have a period of free time and you need something to occupy yourself. Lack of purpose, you feel your current activities are not meaningful and you're just marking time until something more significant occurs. And by the way, it's not just churches, but even in Bible colleges, you know, the younger generation coming up now because of misuse of tools, phone, internet, computer, video games. God help us with video, time-wasting video games. Don't get mad. Listen to the rest of the message, okay? But, you know, we're just wasting. Why, if you're saved and your Savior has saved your soul and we are going to be judged and stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in our body, that's the time that we spent on this earth. Right. We have to give an account to God for our time. And just because, you know, thank God for people that have retired, that love church, love their pastor, love the building, love the bus ministry, and love people. Man, what a time to, you've got time to serve God. Extra time. Yeah, enjoy it and visit the grandkids and travel and spend, you know, your grandkids' inheritance or children's inheritance, okay? But serve God. When we get to heaven, we'll rest then. How about boredom? You look for a way to alleviate boredom. We're in the most time-wasting generation there ever was. Well, I'm just passing the time, engaging in activity without much purpose or interest, simply to fill time and just make it go faster. Well, that doesn't make it go faster. Serve God so you'll make a difference in this life and at the judgment seat of Christ. And man, I mean, you do. Praise God for the buses. We have two buses. And, you know, this church reminds me of the church I got saved in. Be 50 years this February. And they were so concerned about people. Oh, they loved the people of the church. But man, they wanted to reach everybody outside of these walls. And I used to love it. I only got to go there a year and a half, and then I went back on staff 5 years before we moved to Indiana 30 years ago. But brother, I'm telling you, when you were right with God, you could feel the Spirit of God. And I would look up. I would be praying during the invitation, and God would just touch my heart. And I'm like, somebody's going forward to get saved. You could feel it. You could feel the Spirit of God. Pastor Foss, he cared so much. Man, we had six buses and people getting saved. And I'd look up and there'd be somebody walking the aisle and kneeling down and somebody taking their Bible and leading them to the Lord. Man, I love that. That's what God put into my heart the first year and a half that I got saved. I just thought that's what church is supposed to be. Joy and singing and the choir getting up and singing the invitation song, just as I am. And people that you worked with, that you led to the Lord, that you invited, that you talked to. And here they were sitting in church and they're coming forward to get saved or to make a public profession or get baptized. That's church. So man, we get weary in well-doing. You know, we have to motivate our bus workers. Sometimes they want to, you know, stay out past 12. You need a shot in the arm. We all get weary in well-doing. But you start giving a little bit extra to God and you watch and see what God doesn't do for you in your life. He will bless you. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan said, I never lay my head on the pillow at night without thinking that before morning dawns, the final morning may have dawned. I never lay my head on the pillow at night without thinking that before the morning dawns, the final morning may have dawned, and it will. And then like the Lord told us that the fool, the rich man, the fool in Luke 12:20, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? We can't take it with us. Let's set it on to heaven and let's invest it. And by the way, First Baptist Church in Ashland, Ohio, man, those people gave. They gave their time, they gave their money, they gave to missions. Man, I love that missionary hall. We're going back, we're going to change the lobby's name to Missionary Lobby. That's where all our missionary pictures are. It ain't going to be the lobby. It's going to be the missionary lobby. All right? But the hymn says, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. It isn't going to be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, the crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Here's another reference. You can write it down. I'll read it. 1 Corinthians 7:29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. And you could say that. Time is short. Remember when you were, you know, kids and we used to have 3 months off for summer, okay? Start after Labor Day in Ohio and now this starting July 31st and messing up camp and everything else. But, you know, the school year seems so long and summer so short, you know, and time is short. And the older you get, I remember my grandmother telling me the older you get, and she was in the assisted living on her own, had her own room, and she told me, time goes faster the older you get. And I'm like, well, how can that be? There is nothing for you to do. You just sit around in this room all day. And she crochet and stuff. She goes, you'll understand. It's weird. The older you get, the faster it goes. And you don't want it to go fast. So the time is short. So use your time serving God in fear. Be serious about your time. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice, these are the verses right after in 1 Corinthians 7, as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Now he's not saying, you know, if you're married, neglect your wife, and don't cry, and don't rejoice, and don't buy, and don't possess things, but what it means is you have got to have some time to give God. That's what it means. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Time is short. Life is short. It's temporary. We work like it. We're going to live down here forever. I mean, we're going to come back with the Lord. But why would we invest in stuff that's going to go up in smoke anyway? Everything we have in this life is loaned to us. And then one day the Lord takes it back. One day, death or the Lord is coming. And then you realize that what you had was all on temporary loan. And why do we think, well, you know, this is mine and this is mine and this money's mine and this vehicle's mine? It says time is short. 1 Corinthians 7:29. What does that word mean? A season. We were looking, the leaves are already starting to change. But that's what time is. It's a season. It's a limited period of time that you get from God. For a saved person, this word time in 1 Corinthians 7:29 also means opportunity. Think about it. Don't think, well, we got to come to church and we got to build the food trucks and we got to visit the bus route. No, we get God saves our soul and gives us time, opportunity to serve Him. That's what time is. The breath that we have, it's every breath is an opportunity to do something for God. It's an occasion. It's a particular period, a measure of time. It's a fixed time. And I'm glad, you know, when we took over Crossroads Baptist Church, and it's, believe me, not me, but, you know, I'm sitting in my office and, you know, woe is me, and we got, you know, less than 10 people. We had, you know, we had 12, and then we went down to like, what, 7? and you know, grew from there. But people said, what are you going to do? You know, there's no money and no people. What do you mean, what are we going to do? We're going to go out and knock doors. Or sit around here and get depressed and quit and pout and, you know, get mad at everybody. No. And so, you know, even today, my assistant, John, he's like, Pastor, he said, we're in the auditorium looking. We're getting ready to, we've done, the building's 37 years old. In the last 17 years, we've done a lot. We just had a missionary move in or come in for the missions conference into the missions house where your pastor and wife stay for a month. And they're like, wow, thank you. It's beautiful. God allowed us to do that. But we've seen, Brother John was saying, Pastor, he said, God is saving people. We've seen, and you have dry spells. But in the last few weeks, few months, it's been great. A lady in our church said, can you go visit our neighbor? They need the Lord. And so we go by. And Dustin gets saved, and his girlfriend, Jessica, gets saved. We talk to him about baptism, and Jessica calls up. They have two daughters. One's named Chevy, and one's named Nova. Okay, that's their names, all right? And, I know, you know, they could have been Ford, right? But the mom calls, and she says, my daughter wants to get baptized. And I'm like, okay, great, you know. Got to explain. She's going to get mad because we're not. You have to be saved first. And so she goes, yeah, she wants to do that too. And so she came to Sunday school. The daughter goes to Cindy, my wife. Oh, by the way, honey, you stand up. Yeah. Please. You see her shake her head? So I'll hear it on the way home, okay? You don't make your wife stand in church, all right? You want to stand again? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Anyway. Don't do that, all right? So she goes to class, and the teacher says, well, why do you want to get saved? Do you want to just get saved because, or why do you want to get baptized? Because your mom's going to get baptized? She said, no, I want to get saved. So she gets saved. So we baptized, we're waiting on Dustin to get baptized. We baptized Jessica, Chevy, and then we had a family, and praise God for those of you that stood up. That are going to go in somebody's home and knock on their door and show you care. Man, I'm telling you, that works. Don't be embarrassed. You have God's authority and God's power from Jesus Christ. We have His authority to go and reach the lost, no matter what laws they make. Okay, we have heaven's authority and the Word of God's authority. And so Rich and Debbie come. We go over to visit them, and we're talking. I'm like, I don't think this guy's saved. Well, she was a PK. She knew the Lord. But I just was able to give my testimony. I wasn't planning on it, but it just came out, and I'm glad I did. She gives her testimony. And all of a sudden, after dinner, he looks at me, and I thought he was mad for a minute. He goes, "Well, you're telling me you're saved, and Cindy's telling me she's saved, and Debbie's telling me I need to get saved." And he's like, "What is all this?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, got the Bible." And so he got saved. And baptized. And he didn't even argue about it. You need to get baptized. Boom, he did it. Guess where he was Sunday? At the door greeting. Guess where he was Sunday night? Both of them in the choir singing. And you know, it's hard sometimes. We're door knocking over there on 65, which is all closed up in one lane and bumper to bumper traffic, and it's crazy. And we knocked on one door, and this guy, Sam is in Bible college, and this guy, he normally people don't really like cuss you out horribly. It doesn't happen that often, so don't get scared. But he did. And then as I'm walking by and Samuel comes, and he kept the right attitude about it. He said, "Pastor, God really helped me," because I'm like, "Oh, that guy's going to burn in hell, you know, for doing this and not being saved." And Samuel's like, "No, Pastor, we need to reach him." Whew, okay, Lord, forgive me. He said, "The Lord really taught me patience and just compassion for people like that, that need the Lord." Man, that convicted me. We get to the next house. And as we're walking, this guy yells out, "Satan reigns," or "Praise be to Satan," something like that. Now, that's scary. But the very next house, a girl is visiting Hunter, and she says, "Where's the church? We're passing out John and Romans and our smiley tracks, and where's the church, Arlington and Brookville?" She goes, "Brookville." And I kind of wonder why she said Brookville. Well, we found out that's where she lived. So she didn't come the following Sunday. She came the next Sunday. She got saved. We visited another family, and this young man was visiting from another town, Liberty, cousins. He raises his hand. Man, I love it when people raise their hand and walk the aisle to get saved. And then there was this other guy, three of them, okay? I'm like, "Lord, keep it going." Dane, his grandmother brought her grandson. He raised his hand. John led him to the Lord. Cindy led Aubrey. Daniel led Sebastian. But they're not all living right there. Some of them do, and I'm kind of like, "Oh," but we called other churches. Pastor Falk, found out he lived by him. I said, "He needs to get baptized. Get him baptized." Another lady today talked to another preacher in Indianapolis where this lady moved, Macy. I said, "She's got saved. I led her to the Lord. She needs to be baptized." And they're like, and I know that preacher in that church will go right by and visit. We got a call from Palmetto, Florida, Baptist church here. And this brother in tears was saying, "Would you go see my brother? He's an alcoholic. He's 30 years old, divorced, drugs. You better believe we will." Without hesitation. We go there. He was sober. Place was bad. We took out like 4 39-gallon bags of beer cans. It took three of us an hour and a half just to clean a small little one-bedroom apartment. But he's getting help, and I'm hoping in a few days we're taking him up to Better Roads Recovery Center, Independent Baptist Recovery Center in Chicago. I've never led an 80-year-old man to the Lord, but 2 weeks ago, a couple in our church, "Pastor, I know you'll go see this guy. Would you go see him?" And I did. He goes, "I knew you would." And this guy was ready, 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 ready. I went through the whole plan of salvation. And I said, "Now, knowing that the Bible says that Jesus Christ will save your soul, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, if you ask him and believe what the Bible says, knowing that God will save your soul if you ask, when do you think Jesus Christ would want you to ask him to save you?" And he looks at me and he goes, "About 30 years ago." I'm like, He got it. "You want to get saved?" "Yes." Anyway, but time is our life. It's a vapor. James says, "Whereas you know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life?" Your time. It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. My dad lived into his 90s, but it just seemed like that. That word vapor means to blow. It's like air. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It means to cast off or scatter in fumes or steam as to vapor away. That's our life. So if that's our life, then God knows that we are to, 1 Peter 1:17, pass the time of your sojourning, your vaporous life here in fear. You have a short time, a little while, a set of proper time from God that he's given to you to live for him. Don't waste it. I know we have to work. I know we have to do all these other things. We have to rest, but one day it's going to be time's up. Time to come home and give an account for how you use your time, either for God or for you. That's the sad thing, or the great thing. If you use your time for God, that is awesome. And God will take care of you. If you use your time for you, that's just selfish sadness. Jesus Christ wants to be the priority of your time. And the preacher respects that. He understands that. But when he asks for God's people from God, as God's messenger, can you give a little time? God blesses that. God blesses that. Vacation, Bible school, missions, conference, camp, promotions. Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, it's not that you hate your mom or wife or mom or dad, but it's that you love God more, most. That's what it means. Vance Havner said, devotion to him must be so high and so deep and so intense that all other loyalties must seem in comparison as though they did not exist. We don't neglect our wife or parents, but devotion to God is so high that he's number one. If a husband or wife understands this and is like-minded, there will be no difficulty. What this verse means is you have to love God so much that it seems that nothing else matters. And then Ephesians 5:16 says this, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. What does redeem mean? It means to buy up. You can't really buy up time, but you can use time. It means to buy up for oneself. Use the time that God has given you for him. It's for your use, for one's use. It means, redeeming means to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity of time for doing good. It's our time, but we use it for God. And then Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Same word. The man who redeems the time will not itch for something without scratching for it. In other words, he'll do something for God. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. The lazy Christian aims at nothing and generally hits the target. Stagnant pools of water usually gather filth and germs. And no Christian should be waiting for something to turn up. He ought to be turning things upside down. And you do that. Acts 17:6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They ought to be looking. It's like, here comes blessed hope. Lock the doors. Turn the lights out. Here they come. These guys are going to go up and down the net. They just were here last week. Amen. Stir things up. Make them mad. Well, not too mad, okay? You want them to come to church, all right? It's time to get serious about using your time for God. It's time to grow up in our time management. Yes. Even us adults. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time to put away time-wasting childish things in your life. We got to get serious. What a man is depends largely on what he does when he has nothing to do. Let me say that again. What a man is depends on what he does when he has nothing, largely on what he does when he has nothing to do. It's better for a pot to boil over than never reach a boil. And in Christian service, it's always better to burn out than to rust out. And if he call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, how you spend your time, pass the time, use your time, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What does that word pass mean? It means to busy oneself. Busy yourself with time of serving God. It means live. It means behave self with your time. Behave yourself with your time. Use time wisely. If you really fear God, you will behave with your time on earth. You and I are going to give an account, an answer to God for how we spend our time. So sojourn in fear. Now here's, to put it all in context, this word fear means to be put in fear. We should be put in fear when it comes to, we're not afraid of our, this is my time, I control, no, you should be afraid of how you spend your time. Because the Bible says you should be sojourning and passing the time in fear. It means to be alarmed or fright. Some of us should be alarmed how we're wasting our time. That should scare us to death. It means to be, it means exceeding fear or terror. We should think about how we spend our time. God says, pass the time here in fear. Pass the time of your sojourning, because we're only here temporarily, in fear. Why? Because one day we're going to give an account. We should be concerned and afraid how we use our time. That's Pauline. It's New Testament. The Apostle Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. What is sojourning? Temporary residence in a foreign land. This world's not my home. We're strangers. It's from the root word, meaning having a home near. Amen. Pretty soon, our home is near. We're bydwellers here. We're just sojourning. Earth is our foreign country, and heaven is our native country. And the people in Hebrews 11 knew that, 11:13, because they said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They knew they were only here temporarily. So pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Be afraid how you use your time that God gives you. The verb for pass is that from which is derived the noun for conversation, your life, or conduct. We are conduct ourselves, conduct our time for the Lord. Conduct yourselves during the time of your sojourning. Live for God, serve God in the local church, and use your time wisely, not wastefully. Proverbs says, happy is a man that feareth alway. Always. That's not just Bible, that's good advice. If you keep in mind as a Christian that sometime, somewhere, you're going to face God's judgment on your works, you'll get scared and stay scared, as the old insurance ad put it. Having a good, healthy fear of God will help you to live right and help you to pass your time here in fear. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:11. You're crazy if you aren't scared of standing before the Lord and our Lord and Savior, and watching your works go up in smoke, and having nothing to show for him because of a lifetime of living for self. And sad, some church people, and they might have had everything, and there's nothing wrong with having in this life, but when you get to heaven, all your local church, Christian living, time spent works for God are going to go. And for some, it's going to all burn up. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, I don't know how it's going to work, but, you know, maybe the angel said, all right, next. And you come up and, all right, let's hear his story. Tell the tale of his life. What's your tale going to be when it's told at the judgment seat of Christ? That's Psalm 90, verse 9. Verse 12 says, because of that, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. A wise Christian uses time wisely. So, live every day like it was the last one, and pretty soon it will be. Pretty soon it's going to be the last day, so live like it is the last. I got to reach my brother. I don't want my mom to go to hell. My neighbor that I work with. You know, at First Baptist Church, I went back and preached at a lady's funeral. And my first bus captain, Don Thompson. I am so thankful that guy took me out and taught me. And then he started working, and I ended up in Herodon Bus 6. And it was the longest bus route. And I'm like, God, thank you. You know, some people, oh, man, an hour-long route. Praise God that I even get to be on the bus and serve him. But it amazed me. There was men at that funeral, and Charlie Osborne's telling me, oh, yeah, Don Winland talked to me at work, and he led me to the Lord at work. And then Charlie Osborne, he went over to so-and-so at work and led this guy to the Lord. These are all guys in the church. They're all deacons and bus drivers, weren't they? And in the choir, and then this guy that got saved from this guy and this guy and this guy, he goes over and talks to somebody at work or on break, and he gets saved. Hey. Man, they used their time. They didn't steal time from their boss, but break time and lunch time. And I'm like, oh, you guys worked at the same place? Yeah. And you led him, and you led him, and he led you, and I didn't know that. Days should be numbered according to the hours in those days that we're spent in fellowship with God doing His will. Paul would say, for me to live is Christ. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Let's pray. Do you want to do that? Okay. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And maybe you're here tonight, and I don't know, maybe this is your first time, or you're not sure you're saved, but you need to come to the altar, and we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to have eternal life and everlasting life, the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then, as the piano begins, why don't you come and say, God, thank you for the time that I have on earth. I may be young, I may be older, but dear God, please, maybe I can give a couple extra minutes this Saturday. You know, there's a lady that was saved, and her kids are supposed to come to church this Sunday, and it was the last door that they knocked on. I can't tell you how many times. Just go one more door, and the very last door that we knocked on, that person got saved. You come. We got time from God. Man, thank God for a church like this. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The preacher, Brother Ross and Cheryl, and you people, and your buses, and the drivers, and the workers, and the visitors, and passing out the tracts and the information and getting everything ready for Sunday. God bless you.